Hello, I'm Tom Moan, and today I'm beginning an old and yet continuing adventure. In 1968, my family and I returned to Tulsa, where I became the general manager of KOR-UFM and Oral Roberts, radio announcer. At that time, from 1968 until March of 71, I had a daily program entitled Good Morning, Brother Pilgrim. And now, after 50 years, I'm resurrecting it with a new title, Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim. And a pilgrim is a person who's on a journey, and in this case, a journey of the kingdom of God on earth as Jesus prayed. So I hope you'll join me as we look into the past, the present, and the future.
This is the Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim podcast with Tom Moan for November 8th, 2019.
Well, once again, good morning, fellow pilgrim. It's a delight to be with you. In our last podcast, we talked a great deal about the Lord Jesus Christ being the incarnate Word, and that sometimes over the years, the written Word somehow begins to replace Him, and that's why I spent some time reading from John 5, where, if you'll recall, in that chapter, He had said things like this: You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is these that bear witness of me, and you're unwilling to come to me that you may have life. Being one who so loves the Scripture and spends so much time in it, I'm a little concerned when people seem to put the Scripture over the Lord Jesus. I think it can happen almost unconsciously, because we love the Scripture so much and we know God has breathed on it. But never, never, ever forget that Jesus is the incarnate Word. Well, anyway, I want to go back to a very familiar portion and then begin to talk a little bit more about entering the kingdom of God. You recall in the third chapter of John, I'm going to just read these extremely familiar verses, beginning in verse 1 of John 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you've come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There's so much more in that whole passage, of course, through the 21st verse. But I just want to lift out of that text these two concepts. You've got to be born again from above, from another realm, by the Spirit, so that you can see the kingdom. And then in verse 5, it talks about entering the kingdom. And we realize how important it is entering kingdom life. I've read before on other podcasts, Paul's letter to the Corinthians, in the third chapter, he wrote to them and said, Brethren, I could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of the flesh, as to babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you're still fleshly. And he talks about them. He says, yeah, at the end of this, he says, you may be born again, but you're of not much use in the kingdom of God. And this is what I want to really emphasize in this podcast today. I want to go back and talk about how do we enter the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to use two texts. I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard and then from the Amplified Bible. And I want to read what they call the Beatitudes, because I believe these are the things that Jesus is teaching us about how we enter the kingdom of God. So let me begin to read from the New American Standard, Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. And when he saw the multitudes, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And opening his mouth, he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now that's what we call the Beatitudes. But the next two or three verses are also important before I begin to hopefully shine a little light on them. Verse 13 says, You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It's good for nothing anymore, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think I came to abolish the law of the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished. That's the first 18 verses of the Sermon on the Mount. Now I read all of that as preparation for us to realize that it was one thing to see the kingdom in John 3. It was another thing in John 3:5 to enter. And it is entering the kingdom that I believe the Sermon on the Mount is all about. And the first beatitude, which I read, is, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, I believe what Jesus begins to teach in the Sermon on the Mount is the actual way by which you and I may enter into the kingdom of God. Having seen it from afar, I can recall on just driving on vacation, seeing the mountains, the Rocky Mountains, and just driving and driving and driving, wondering if I'd ever get there. I assume that the kingdom of God can sometimes feel a little like that. Will I ever get there? And the answer is yes. But God, Jesus lays out a pathway for us. And when he says, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, I believe the basic step into entering into the kingdom life and letting the kingdom life really be formed in you. I had a dear friend many years ago who wanted so much to be a faithful disciple of Jesus. And he was praying about it, and he said, I fell asleep one night praying about wanting to be a disciple of Jesus. And this man was a carpenter and a builder. And in his dream, he saw himself at the bottom and building a staircase way up high. And he was on the first step, and he had to take all this time to make sure it was cut correctly and placed correctly and then fixed. And he said, I began to realize that walking up into the kingdom of God was one step at a time. And he said that was such an encouraging dream. Well, I'd like to read now from the Amplified Bible, which gives us the other words that could be used by the translators in this first step, which is the step of humility. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and in due time he will exalt you or lift you up. But some people cannot be lifted up or exalted because they've never truly humbled themselves. And I love the Amplified Bible in this third verse, the first beatitude. Blessed, happy, to be envied, and spiritually prosperous, that is, with life joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the poor in spirit, the humble, rating themselves insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's the Amplified's amplification of the third verse. But isn't it interesting the way it says, regardless of their outward conditions, are poor in spirit, rating themselves insignificant. I've read so many times, and I think it's the 23rd chapter of Matthew, where Jesus says to them, don't be called rabbi, but you have one teacher. And don't let anybody, I'm just going to just try to do it by memory, but let me read it. Don't be called rabbi, for one is your teacher and you're all brothers. Don't call anyone on earth your father, for one's your father. And don't call anyone leader, for one is your leader, that is the Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. The point is there is a definite need in the kingdom of God for leadership. I've gone back so often to Isaiah where he talks about the government being on his shoulders and that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the bringing in the rule and the reign of God on earth. It needs leadership desperately. But Jesus is saying to us, true leadership, godly leadership, kingdom leadership must come from the humble, the servant. And if you want to be great, you've got to become a servant. And I've gone many times to John 13, where he washes the disciples' feet. And then after he's done all that, he says, do you understand what I've done? And I don't think they really do. But he's laid down his life for the sheep. So when we read this out of the Amplified Bible, I believe this is the first step in coming into the kingdom of God, the rule and the reign of God in you and then out of you into the world, so that you and I can truly become doors to the kingdom of God. And I found that people who are humble and are not trying to sell themselves, but are more concerned about the king and his kingdom and Jesus and his love, they're far more approachable. But when people come off rather haughty, like they know everything, the typical know-it-all, that's not kingdom life or living. And sometimes in religion, that's what happens. And that's why I've often felt that the greatest enemy of the king and the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the true church has been religion and religious activity. So let me read the Amplified again on verse 3. Blessed, happy, to be envied, and spiritually prosperous, that is, with life joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the poor in spirit, the humble, rating themselves insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So step one for us in entering the kingdom of God, once again, will always be humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, as I read out of Matthew 23, and in due time, he will exalt you. But you'll be able to take that exaltation without arrogance, without pride, sneaking its way in and somehow destroying the very person God wants to demonstrate his love and his kingdom through on earth. I'm going to read verse 4, and I'll probably get into it in the next podcast. But verse 4 is out of the New American Standard, is blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Let me read that out of the Amplified. Blessed and enviably happy, with a happiness produced by experience of God's favor, and especially conditioned by the revelation of his matchless grace, are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We're going to pick it up in that second beatitude in our next podcast, but until then, I'd like to pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for my fellow pilgrims, we who are called by your blessed Spirit in the gospel of Jesus and the kingdom of God, to live in the tension between your first coming and your second coming. We are called to live the kingdom life here on earth. And Father, we just invite you, teach us to humble ourselves before you and before mankind. Father God, that you may trust us with kingdom life, love, revelation, that we truly are doors to the kingdom. So, Father, I invite my listeners, as well as I ask myself, Father, we come, we lay down our lives, we humble ourselves, and we are grateful for Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Healer, our Deliverer. Jesus, we love you so much, and we're so grateful. Amen.
This podcast is available for free download in iTunes and at moanministriesbookstore.com. Sarah Rahm's album, Days of Rain, is available on iTunes and most streaming platforms.